Pastor wanted me to share my testimony, and I want to summarize my testimony in one statement. If you go with me to the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 10, if you can help me read that, Joel 3, verse 10. The Bible says, beat your plowing shares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Has anyone seen what's going on here? We are in a warfare, and the Bible says, the Lord says, beat your farming equipment. Plowing shares and pruning hooks are farming equipment. Do you think farming equipment is suitable for warfare? Anybody? I don't think so. Farming equipment is not going to let me win this war. But yet, when I am in the warfare, the enemy doesn't see that I have farming equipment in my hand. He sees swords and spears in my hand. Glory be to God. And this is our testimony. I am weak, and we have nothing of our own. But when we are in warfare, Nisha and I can testify, the enemy sees only swords and spears in my life. And he has kept us, not because we are anything, but by his grace. And the Bible says, if God has dealt with us according to our sins, we would have perished a long time ago. I thank the Lord that the Lord is using me and using many of us, despite our weaknesses. Amen. And we have a tough time sometimes understanding that we are both divine and that at the same time we are human. 2 Samuel 3:39, David says, this day I am weak, even though I am an anointed king. We need to realize more than ever, you and I are anointed, but you and I are weak. And Paul says, let every one of you be of a sober thinking. Sober thinking means let us not have an exaggerated opinion about ourselves, especially our spiritual selves. We are both divine and we are human. We need to steer clear of all those snares, all those areas of temptation that can put us down. Only when you realize that you are anointed, but you're weak, you can do that. Amen. And God has been good to us and our family. I'm going to stop my testimony right there because I have a word for you and I have a time constraint here as well. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Amen. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And we all sitting here, I'm sure everyone has been having a long journey with the Lord for so long. And we know his devices against us. And the Bible says, if you are ignorant of his devices, there is a tendency that he's going to take advantage of you. And we cannot afford to be ignorant of his devices. Satan does not bring attacks arbitrarily. Satan does not bring attack on random. He brings attack on purpose. He examines your life so closely. He understands the weak points in your life, and he attacks you at those strategic moments of your life. He does not attack you when you are full in the Word and when you are full in the Spirit. He attacks you when he realizes that you are weak. And God willing, today I would just like to expose some devices that he's been containing the children of God with. Let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 6. Verses 1 through 6. Judges chapter 6. I want you to notice two words here. In verse 3 especially says, when Israel had sown, the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, and they came up against them. My dear brothers, when do you sow? And what happens when you sow something? Somebody can sow into your life, or you can sow into your life through the word of God. And what is the result of you sowing something into your life? Definitely there is a harvest that's coming up. There is an increase that will happen when you sow something into your spiritual atmosphere. And the Bible says, when Israel had sown, not after they had sown, not after the harvest was created, when Israel had sown. See, enemy does not wait to attack you till your harvest is here. The enemy attacks you right at the utterance of your prophecy. He will attack you as soon as the seed is sown. And look at this. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east. My brothers and sisters, there are more Amalekites, Midianites, and the children of the east in our lives more than we know. There are men and women from all around trying to destroy you and me. They might not be directly doing it, indirectly being instruments of Satan. And we see verse number 4, and they encamped against them, and they destroyed the increase of the earth. Satan is after your increase. Satan is after your increase. You know, Satan is happy as long as your status quo. Then you would say, you know what? I've been not going any backward. I've been doing well for the last 5 years, but you ain't gone forward either. Satan is happy as long as you are stuck in the same zone. Many a times, if you're stuck in the same zone, the tendency is for you to go backsliding eventually. The children of God, as we see, when you sow the word of God in your lives in many areas, you will see an increase in your spirituality. You'll see an increase in different realms of your life, and you see the enemy is out to destroy that increase. How does he do that? Go with me to Numbers 22, verse 3. The book of Numbers, chapter 22, verse 3. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay, continue one more. Thank you. You need to realize the enemy understands that the momentum at which some of you are going right now can destroy his kingdom. And he does not want you to do that. And as we saw earlier, he's not going to wait till you do that. He's not going to wait till you see the harvest. He's going to attack you at the outset of your sowing those seeds into your life. The word of God. Seed is the word of God in your life. Amen? And it says, Moab, a type of Satan, he says, if I leave Israel like this, if Israel goes in the same momentum, they are going to lick up all that are round about as the ox licketh up the grass. It is not what you have that is messing up, folk. It is but where you are going. You need to realize that. You might not be there yet, but many people realize that you are going somewhere. Amen? And the enemy is after that. And he says, Moab was afraid of where... See, you need to understand, Israel never reached the promised land at this point of Numbers. They were still in the wilderness. But can you believe, Moab is already distressed. Israel had not reached Canaan. They're still distressed and saying, we need to wipe these people out. So what does he do? Go with me to verse 6. What does he do? Balak, the king of Moab, Balak is saying, I got to stop them. Or Satan is saying, I got to stop you before you inherit the promise. He's not going to wait till you reach your manifestation. Now, what I want you to look at is, whom did he use to destroy the children of Israel? Did he go to some witch doctor? Did he go to some occult practitioner? No. He went to another spiritual person. He goes to Balaam, somebody who's talking with God. What I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, the devil tries to destroy a church from the inside out. He's not going to use the unsaved believer from that next door to curse you. He's going to make you curse with each other. This is how the kingdom of God is destroyed. Kingdom of God is destroyed when one brother curses out another brother. Because Satan knows there is no other way he can touch the anointed. He can only touch the anointed if he can get two anointed fighting. This I've seen over and over again, churches dividing and breaking up. They don't understand the devices and the schemes of the devil. Because they can't get someone from the outside cursing you, because that won't have any effect. Because no weapons formed against you shall prosper. But you know what he does? He brings another saint, another servant to curse you out. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10. Going to look at a couple more devices and I'm going to sit. 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 3, verse 4. Somebody please read. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. To demolish strongholds. Everybody says strongholds. A stronghold, when I looked up in Webster's dictionary, stronghold is a fortified defense structure. It is a fortress, a garrison made to contain a person. The Bible says you and I are in warfare, and when you and I are in warfare, what do you need, guys? We need weapons. And because the reason why we need weapons is the enemy is constantly trying to build strongholds in your life. You don't have to be demon possessed to be having a stronghold. The stronghold can be around your finances. The stronghold can be around your spirituality. The stronghold can be around your health. When he has a stronghold in your life, he contains you for a duration. Go with me. Let's look at what a stronghold is in Joshua 6, verse 1. Joshua 6, verse 1. We're looking at Jericho, which is a fortress, and let's see what is the characteristic of a fortress or a stronghold. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Amen. Jericho was closely shut. None went out, none came in. This is what happens when a stronghold is set around your life. Nothing can come in, nor will Satan let you go out. You are stuck. You are stuck. He would not, you would think somewhere, you know, God is going to come and deliver you someday. Or you are able to, no, he won't. Once he's built a stronghold around you, there are some things that you need to understand to get out of it. What he does is, as we see in the book of Joshua, none came in, none went out. It can be your ministry. It can be your relationships. You're stuck with the same 15 people that you had last 5 years. Or you're stuck with the same health condition for the last 10 years. You're stuck with the same level of finances that you were in the last 5 years. When he builds a stronghold around you, he makes sure that he contains you, he confines you. Nothing can come in, nor will he let you get out. How do you get out then? And that's what I wanted to talk about. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. How do you break the wall of containment? How do you break a stronghold in our life? And, you know, surprisingly, he is constantly trying to build a stronghold in yours and my life. Today, you might not have one, but you know what? He's making one. You better realize it. Isaiah 10, verse number 27. That's right. The yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. My Bible says anointing destroys the yoke. The original Hebrew language, the word anointing is termed fatness. Fatness. I'm not talking about obesity here. I'm talking about spiritual fatness. See, when we take this verse in context, yoke is usually placed on what? On the neck of an ox or a cow. You feed this ox with so much hay that its neck gets so large that the yoke has to snap out. The yoke that the enemy tries to put in you is in your mind. Your warfare is in your mind. If he can get your mind, slowly he'll get your body. Slowly he'll get your relationships. And the Bible says the only way to break a stronghold, or one of the ways to break a stronghold, is to fill yourself with anointing or fatness. What does that mean? You feed yourself with so much word of God. You renew your mind. You transform your mind with his understanding until the yoke has to go away. There is no more space for the yoke. Amen? So what happens when you start taking a serious stand to fill up your fatness, your anointing? The word, the Bible says the word acts like a mirror. The word is like that water. When you look, you can see your reflection. And you need to be constantly in it. Because what is really containing you is you. What is really, if your finances are messed up, it is not because of your neighbor's fault, it is your fault. God wants to tell you something. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. I want to show you the power of acknowledgement. See, there is something called the Adam syndrome. How many of you know the Adam syndrome? When God asked Adam, "Adam, what did you do?" He said, "Lord, it's not me. It's that woman you created for me." And he asked, "Woman, what did you do?" "No, it's not me. It's the Satan you created." You know, see, God could not deliver Adam or Eve out of their situation because he could not get them to acknowledge the truth. The condition that you are in today, if you're stuck, it is mainly because of the mess that you created. You have been the cause of your containment. Go with me to 2 Timothy 2:25. So how do you get out? Amen. Paul is saying perhaps God will grant them, these people, some repentance. Because they are constantly denying the truth. Only when you acknowledge and repent of that containment or what has been containing you, God can do something. Just like the case of Adam and Eve. If Adam accepted, Lord, it was me, he could have delivered him out of that situation, but they will not. They constantly deny the truth. And Paul says, if perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they can come out of a snare. The power of acknowledgement of the truth. And this is why the last 4 years I got saved in November 2003. It has been a set of events. A lot of people sowed into my life, prayed into my life. I believe that if it weren't for many people's prayer, the first 6 months I would have been swept away. But thank the Lord that he has strategically placed a church, a group of believers, and it helped me. And I believe one of the things that I've learned, whenever there is a situation going on in your life, don't look to your wife, don't look to your neighbor, look to yourself. There can be something the Lord is trying to talk to you and me. And that is what exactly Paul is talking about here. God cannot change your circumstances unless you acknowledge the truth. What happens when you start growing in the Word? Proverbs 13:13. What happens if you don't actually continue the Word? Proverbs 13:13. Listen to this. The Word of God, you have to understand, Pastor can preach on Sundays, but you and I need to start taking a self-exploration of this book. He can only feed you so much. You can't depend on one person for your spiritual growth. Bible says if you despise the Word, you will ultimately be destroyed. You can be a Christian. You can be coming to church every day, but nothing's happening in your life. The Word of God has to be taken seriously. John 15:7. Somebody read John 15:7. Amen. My words remain in you. See, if you can pay your bills, you don't need to be on the telephone. You got to be in the Word. If people are trying to set up traps for you, you don't need to be looking for ways to retaliate, but instead you need to be under the Word. And the Word will take care of that situation. You know, many people ask me, what do I do? Yes, I work with FedEx, but my real work is my Father's business. In Luke chapter 2, you see Jesus telling that to Mary and Joseph. My business is my Father's business. My Father's business is kingdom business. Can you make a dedication? Can you make a decision to be all about the kingdom business? What is the kingdom business? To redeem man. To do what he came for. To get out there. To proclaim that he is real. But before that, you need to beef up. You cannot do this without much anointing. Because if you are a blind man, you're trying to lead the blind, can't work. You need to prepare. You need to build your ark. You need to build your ark. You know, the Bible says Noah building the ark was a type of what we need to do. We need to build our ark or the Word of God inch by inch. People might think, what is this guy doing? He needs to be spending time with TV or in the bar. No, you need to be building your ark inch by inch. So that, because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, a flood of lies and deceptions are coming in. If you want to be protected, just as Noah was protected back in those days, your mind needs to be fortified by the Word of God. And you need to take your own study. You need to start listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What is applicable to me is not applicable to you there. You need to understand, you need to be in constant communion with the Lord, constant fellowship with God, which will take you to the new level, the new dimension, the increase that God has for you. God wants you to increase. Satan wants you to be contained. Ask yourselves, examine yourselves and see, am I contained in some area? Nothing comes in, nothing goes out. Thank you, Jesus. As I mentioned, we are our own worst enemy. And we need to realize that. We need to be spending more time in prayer. We need to be spending more time in fasting. Fasting, what is the main relevance of fasting? I've seen in our Malayali Pentecostal circles, we fast, but we forget the main essence of fasting. In Isaiah 58, it says, You fast to loosen the bands of wickedness. Suddenly I and you look at the neighbor, oh, he's wicked. No, he's talking to you. There is some wickedness in you and me that we need to work in. You and I can speak in tongues for 15 minutes, but if I get you wrong in that parking lot, you will curse me out for another 30 minutes. Do you realize that? The book of James says you bless the Lord with your same tongue and you curse your neighbor, your brother, and with the same tongue. You're anointed, but you're weak. And you need to be spending much time in the Word so that the devil stops trying to destroy your increase. We have to increase more and more, the Bible says. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children.